Senate Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness will come to over. Colleagues, we have two public hearings today on tax credits, and we won't be doing any introduction of committee members. We have several of them which are kind of still in process that we'll probably see on the 17th or the 24th. Madam Vice Chair, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you know, I love reading from Voices of the Guard. They are statements, declarations from members of our own National Guard, and it's been compiled by Francis Ritchie. And this chapter is titled Coping, which I think all of us will be trying to do, or we are right now. And this was written by either male or female, I don't know. I can definitely say that I'm a different person than I was before I went over the first time. Just a lot more confident, and I guess a lot more. I don't know what the word is for it. I value things a lot more than I did. And it wasn't like being a teenager and not valuing stuff and then becoming an adult and having responsibilities. It was going from hometown USA to seeing probably the worst that you can see. I guess for me, it made me value everything, life, the little things, family, friends. It really hit home what can happen in the world. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Colleagues, last time we had a fairly full agenda. Everybody is seasoned on this committee, but we never did formally introduce individuals to the viewing public, which are in the little box and square up there and online. So we're going to take a minute just for that. So those who are viewing us from their enjoyment of their couch at home or the press downstairs in the press room will have that on record and know who we are. I'm Senator Brian Boquist. I'm the chair. My district is District 12, which starts in the edge of Forest Grove in Washington County and goes to the edge of Lane County. I have thriving megal offices like Monroe and Alsea and Jefferson. And I have, in my two House districts, I have one district that is, I guess, very progressive and one district that's very conservative. And I think I have more trees than voters, but that's what my district is. Madam Vice Chair, introduction, please.
I'm Lori Montes Anderson. I'm a nurse. My young years were spent during the Vietnam War, and that's why I'm so, and many of my friends went to Vietnam, so I'm very attached to this committee. I really have a love for it. I represent Gresham, Troutdale, most of Gresham, Troutdale, Wood Village, Fairview, and now parts of East Portland. And I have one of those districts that's considered swing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Courtney.
I'm Peter Courtney, State Senator from District 11, which includes portions of Salem, then goes north up through Jervis Banks and Woodburn.
Here. Senator Olson.
I'm Senator Olson. I'm a senator from Senate District 20, which goes from Charbonneau to Estacada, from Happy Valley, Damascus, down to Molino. I'm a veteran, served in the military 1969 to 1971. It's always been a pleasure to serve on this committee.
Thank you. Okay, colleagues, what I'm going to do in a minute is open up a public hearing on two tax credits. They weren't sponsored by individuals. They were actually sent to us by the Interim Committee on Revenue. With that, I'm going to open a public hearing on SB 53 and SB 54, and I would ask that Chris come up at the same time. Council, you give us a quick background, and then we'll go over to Legislative Revenue, who can give us the details.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 53 extends the sunset on tax credit for provision of services under TRICARE contract, and the background that's prepared on the staff measure summary is paraphrased, taken almost directly from the report that's been prepared by Mr. Alanak in the Legislative Revenue Office. TRICARE is a health insurance program for service members, dependents, military retirees. The tax credit was created in 2007, as an incentive to encourage more civilian providers to accept TRICARE insurance, primarily so that access to care would improve for rural veterans not near a military or VA facility. Providers were required to meet certain criteria, including serving a minimum number of TRICARE patients annually and to be certified by the VA's Office of Rural Health in order to claim the credit. The statute has been interpreted to prohibit certifications after 2011 of providers claiming the credit, and the tax credit is currently scheduled to sunset in 2016. This measure, Senate Bill 53, extends that sunset to 2022.
Thank you. Ms. Mack, you want to come up at the same time, please?
Senate Bill 54 also extends a tax credit, this one on for physicians who care for residents of Oregon's veterans' homes. Oregon veterans' homes are long-term care facilities for veterans and their spouses and parents who lost a child in wartime service. They offer skilled nursing along with Alzheimer's and dementia-related care. Two were legislatively authorized in 95, that's in the Dalles and Lebanon, and a third was authorized in 2011 to be established in Roseburg. The tax credit was created also in 2007 as an incentive to encourage physicians to provide qualifying long-term care to residents of veterans' homes and thereby perhaps increase veterans' access to the appropriate care. Again, the Senate Bill 54 sunsets the tax, extends the sunset on the tax credit from 2016 to 2022.
Thank you, Chris.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, Chris Allenack, Legislative Revenue Office, and I was just going to speak a few minutes on contacts. I've been talking to the policy committees about the tax credit review process and how it's a little bit different from the past two sessions. The first piece is that there is this tax credit report that was required to be produced by the Legislative Revenue Office, and that was released last week to the revenue committees, and you have a couple of excerpts from that report related to these two tax credits. And in addition to that report, which was required by House Bill 2002 from the 13 session, LRO got an additional staff person to help the policy committees work through the discussions of the extensions of the tax credits, basically to provide an additional resource as you grapple with the policy embodied in the tax credit in terms of how you may want to change that policy, whether or not you want to extend the tax credit, whatever changes those might be. So I'm talking to all of the policy committees as these tax credits come up. The larger report, which is on our website, as well as in OLIS, there are three main sections. The first part of the report provides background information on tax expenditures and the tax credit review process. And then the third section is the meat, and that's where you have the sections from the report that go into detailed discussion of the tax credits. And within there, it's mainly intended to be a continuing or a starting point for discussions for you this session. Within each of these, right up for each credit, you have an attempt at the policy purpose, a description and revenue impact, as well as a policy analysis and some other discussion about the tax credit. Just kind of going through those generally, the policy purpose, this really is important for the potential evaluation of any tax credit, is really defining and as clearly as possible stating what the legislative intent is behind establishing a tax credit. I went back to the implementing legislation for each of the tax credits to try and glean what that purpose was. Generally speaking, legislative intent does not include is not included in statute. There is no clear statement that says the reason for this tax credit in law is whatever, or the purpose is whatever, or the goal is. So I went back to that implementing legislation to glean generally from the advocates of tax credit as to why it would be put in statute. And so what we're hoping is that from the policy committees we can get as clear a statement as possible about what the policy intent is so that the tax credit can be evaluated in the future as to whether or not it achieves that goal or achieves that purpose. Other information in the report, you have a basic description, and then there's some discussion of a policy analysis and other information about similar tax credits that may exist in other states, as well as trying to touch on some of the administrative costs. The report is not final by any means. It's kind of a work in progress. We got to the session, so we released the report, but we'll be continuing to work on it and refine the information provided in it as the policy discussions move forward. And so to that, I'm just a resource to the extent that the chair and the committee would like to access whatever information I can provide on the tax credits.
Okay. Mr. Chair, for the record, Deanna Mack, Department of Revenue, and I'm also here to provide any information about the administration of the credits that you're considering today. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay. Chris, you may have, I don't know if you have them at your fingertips there, but just for the public's consumption, because they aren't here and they're on the TV screen here, do you recall the value of the TRICARE tax credit and how many doctors are actually doing that at this point?
For the Chair Boquist, for the TRICARE, that's been an interesting one because the program in effect went away after 2011. There have been different interpretations of statute, and that the value of that tax credit, it was kind of two-tiered. The initial year would be a $2,500 tax credit, and then subsequent years would be a $1,000 tax credit, as long as the minimum number of patients were met. And that was mainly urban areas. In rural areas, I don't think there was a minimum number of patients. And at the time this was implemented in 2007, there was concern about the potential cost of the program, so it was kind of phased in. And each year there were $500 potential new taxpayers who could claim the credit. And the way the statute was interpreted is that number went up to, I think it was 2,000 in 2011, but then no certifications were issued in 2012. I don't know that that was the intent in 2007, that it would go away, because the sunset date was 2012 and it was in other legislation extended to 2016. But I, looking back at the reading the ORS and the laws again, I can certainly see that interpretation. So nobody has claimed it since 2011, but at that time there were about 1,150 taxpayers claiming the credit.
Follow up on that. And were those physicians in the urban area or rural area?
Chair Boquist, Senator Monis Anderson, I would have to do a little more digging to find the geographical distribution. I think we do have some information that's out there that the Department of Revenue put together that has a map of the state and showing where those tax credit claimants are, and I can get that to the committee.
If you could do that, it'd be helpful, because when I actually was here in 2005 on the committee that pushed this through, and I mean the goal was trying to get, at that point we had, if you recall, members, Senator Olson wasn't here, but our problem was is we had nobody in the rural areas. No doctors were signing up to do TRICARE, and no doctors were signing up to help returning veterans at that point, which is how we got to where we are right now. And so the target group at that time was in fact those rural areas, and it'd be, I think, helpful before making any decision to know what that distribution is and where those people lie today. Thoughts, Madam Vice Chair?
No, I would concur. We're giving so many tax credits, as far as I'm concerned, to physicians, and we want to keep them in the rural area. But now I'm hearing that even from populous areas, you know, physicians can take advantage of these. We need, you know, providers. We need providers, primary care providers. So do you have a breakdown of which are primary care providers or which are specialties?
Chair Boquist, Senator Monis Anderson, I can contact the Office of Rural Health. They had a certification process, so I can go back to 2011 and at least get a breakdown of what was occurring in 2011.
Thank you, because I think we're at least from my perspective, I mean, this could be scaled, I guess is what I'm thinking. And I will explain, or I'll express simply a bias so everybody in the committee knows, kind of like a conflict of interest, I guess, on the floor. We have had, my wife and I, since 1997, TRICARE, because she's a federal retiree from the United States Army. And from 1997 to now, TRICARE has paid two payments. One was $100-some-odd about 3 years ago, and the other one was $300-some-odd fairly recently for a wheelchair that cost $16,000. So TRICARE's benefits to the average veteran who doesn't have the plus up, I'm less than impressed with. So I'm not sure what good that's doing out there at this point. Senate Bill 54, could you, once again, this is the provisions for medical care to residents in the Veterans Home. We're primarily talking about the DALs and then the new constructions.
That's correct, Senator Boquist. Here, very few people, it's been less than 12, fewer than a dozen providers are claiming this credit each year. Mm-hmm. So I don't, there isn't a lot of information that can even be shared publicly at that level. When we only have 12 people claiming it in the state, it gets really difficult to share information geographically due to the confidentiality issues with the tax returns.
Right. Well, the problem there is I think we only have one that's functioning. So
right.
I can tell you where the geography is called, the DALs, because that's the only place presently is taking residents until they're here. What's the price tag on the that particular one?
That one is about $20,000 a year.
Total.
$20,000?
We only, the credit is $1,000 for every 8 residents that are patients, capped at $5,000. So if you have 10 providers claiming the full $5,000 credit, that's $50,000. And we're not even at that. So they must be claiming, I don't have the numbers at the top of my head, but they're either fewer than 10 that claimed it in the most recent couple of years, or they were claiming less than the full $5,000. Because it was $1,000 per 8 residents that they were seeing. So if they only saw 16 residents, they would get a $2,000 credit.
So I'm wondering, has it been a problem with physicians wanting to see veterans in these homes, in the veterans' homes?
Chair Boquist, Senator Monis Anderson, I can do some digging to try and find answers to those questions. I don't know why it's not more widely used. I don't know if it's a supply issue or demand issue.
Maybe it's an unnecessary issue.
Is ODVA, can you speak to this or not, or you want to wait for a week?
Give me some time to...
Okay. ODVA would have the answer to that because they would know the providers coming into the home. So we'll ask them to come back, roll this over to you next week for just a brief update on it, if you would, please, Council. Other questions?
Well.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Deanna. If you'd get back with us, easiest way is to send it to Council there, and then she'll distribute it to us and colleagues. We would, in fact, just for sake, if you roll both 53 and 54 over to next week, just for any clarifying information that we can put into the record. And I'm assuming up on OLIS we have the extracts from the LRO report that Chris mentioned, so people can see that, right?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay, colleagues?
When we had tax credits in my committee, healthcare committee, boy, we wanted to try to change some of them. And once we decided that we wanted to change some, then everyone comes out of the woodwork saying, no, don't get rid of this. No, don't get rid of this, you know. So, I mean, it's very hard for me to vote on these in the policy committee because I don't have the big picture. I don't know. I mean, here we have 2 tax credits going to physicians. In my committee, I think it's going to be 5 or 6 tax credits to physicians. And, you know, I'd like to see some credits going to primary care providers primarily, and to rural areas primarily, and then I hear that specialty providers are using it. Mother, oh no, don't get rid of those because we need specialties in rural areas. To me, it's. I was talking to the chair of the revenue committee at lunch today about this very issue. It's. I think it's very difficult for us to have the big picture.
Well, having been clobbered in 2005 on this issue, I feel your pain. What was it? Coping. That's the
coping.
Coping, as you said. So I think if we could, Council, we'll move these forward, put them on the agenda for next week, too, and for invited and testimony only, and we'll have ODVA ask them to address this because they can address the issues in terms of the providers that are working through the single veterans home that we have, and invite our good friends at Rural Healthcare who can maybe, because that's exactly who Chris is going to go to and ask the questions, and I would rather hear it from them.
It would really be nice to know what the average salary of these people are, who are taking advantage. Can that be gotten? Although if you're only working with 12, then you can sort of narrow down who the person is and how much money they're making, so we don't.
I'll see what information we can provide, abiding by the data restrictions that exist.
And is it just physicians, or is it providers like nurse practitioners, or?
I'd have to double check, but I think the veterans home is just physicians.
Is that right?
I'd have to check, though. have to check.
And just for clarification, because we don't have it on our paper here, and yours is here, the TRICARE tax credit, it's Rural Health who oversees the TRICARE.
That Office of Rural Health, because there was a certification process that they handled.
Right. Invite them, if you would, please. Insist. Colleagues? Thank you. Thank you, Chris and Diane. That was an exciting meeting, colleagues. I will close the public hearing on SB 53 and 54. And if you recall, colleagues, and we hear bills one week, you know, discuss moving in the next. This one, unless everybody has an objection, I'd like to roll over to next week because we have just enough information not to cope and for it to be muddy. And so we need a little bit more information to figure out where to go. And unless somebody else has something for the good of the order, I would remind anybody that wants to have input, regardless of pro and con, Appendix D to the Tax Credit Committee policy questions, which I will be required to send to myself on the Tax Policy Committee, that any inputs you have to any of these, I mean, they are good starting place for questions. I mean, what's the purpose of the public policy? And we just started into that. And maybe next week we can kind of walk through the list of any of these you desire that we do something with. I am inclined to do some streamlining on these, though. Okay. With that, colleagues, we're adjourned.